to a chance discovery more than a decade ago, we know that Arizona is home to not one, but two species of salamanders. Andy Baldwin is the man who realized the state was home to twice as many species as previously thought. And Baldwin is the chairman of the biology department at Mesa Community College. He recently spoke with our co-host, Mark Brody.
I was on a school field trip and in 2003, and I was doing what I do, which was flipping rocks, and I uncovered something that should not have been there.
How did you know that this was a species of salamander that was new to this part of the world?
It's well known that there's only one species of salamander in Arizona. So when I found something that wasn't it, it was something different.
How different is this species than the one that is native to here?
Very different. It's night and day.
Like how?
The tiger salamander, which is native, they get very large. I mean, they can get up to 10 inches long. They start out with their life in the water. They have gills. They metamorph into like a tadpole becomes a frog. They lose their gills and become a terrestrial adult. This one that I found does not do that. It stays very small. It's about 4 inches long, maybe up to 5 inches, and it does not have any life stage in the water at all.
So were you able to identify it as different as soon as you saw it?
Oh, instantly.
So what'd you do?
I freaked out, pretty much abandoned the school field trip to my colleague and says, I have something else I need to do right now. So I went on this path of destruction to uncover a few more if I could. And I ended up finding one more individual on that day.
And what did you do with them?
I brought them back to Mesa Community College. I needed to have voucher specimens because if I just said, hey, I found this and didn't have anything to show for it, no one would believe me. So I kept them and I preserved them. So they're dead and they're in a jar now. But I also clipped a bit of their tail off so that I had a DNA sample so that I could do some DNA analysis.
And what did that analysis tell you?
It indicated that those specimens of salamanders had not been present, or they weren't very different from the salamanders that were like them that were native to California. So that indicates that they hadn't been there for very long.
Do we know how they got here?
We do. It was sort of a roundabout way, but the salamander community is sort of a small, close-knit community, so word got out pretty quickly that I had found this species in Arizona. And so, you know, as word spread, so word finally got to the person that actually released these salamanders back in the 1980s at that site. And he gave me a phone call.
Why had that person done that?
So this person was a big fan of this species that was native to California, and he saw or thought that this species was being threatened and was perhaps going to go extinct. So he thought in a chance to sort of, you know, air quotes, save the species, he was going to collect a few from California, drive them out to a suitable habitat elsewhere in Arizona, and turn them loose. Didn't tell anybody. Of course, that was illegal to do, scientifically immoral to do. But nevertheless, he thought he was doing the right thing for the species, and that's what he did.
Well, it seems as though, despite the illegality and immorality of it, it sounds like, at least to some extent, his plan worked.
It did. So for 20-plus years, that population remained undiscovered. And obviously, it was doing well because those original animals that were released had long since died, but they reproduced before they died. So what I was collecting was, you know, several generations down from that original population.
Anytime you introduce something new into an ecosystem, obviously there are impacts. Have there been impacts to this new type of salamander in that ecosystem in Arizona?
Unknown. That's a great study that could be done. I mean, what is the impact of introducing a salamander to an area or an ecosystem that didn't originally have them? Probably it's a fairly small impact, as these salamanders live underground most of the time. They aren't large predators. They eat insects. There aren't that many things that eat them. So I don't really know what level impact they would have, but you make a good point. I mean, they probably do influence it in some way. We don't know how many individuals there are there. How widespread is this population? We don't know that either.
What is the significance of this find? I mean, why is it important that you discovered that this new to Arizona species, was in fact in the state?
There are a couple of factors that I think make this important. One is that it's always been suspected that there is a population, or there could be a population, of salamanders in Arizona. And there have been dozens of researchers that have spent hundreds of hours looking for salamanders and have never found them. And then here I flip a rock, my first, you know, summer out to Arizona, and I find a salamander. So I guess my first point is it shows that salamanders of this family can live in Arizona, as they've been suspected for forever. The second point that I think that makes this important is, even though this was an illegal introduction, it sort of has set up an experiment, actually multiple experiments, that could be followed up on. We have this starting set of parameters that you just simply don't know with a wild population. So here we are trying to estimate, you know, genetic mutation rates, and we're trying to estimate evolutionary patterns, and we're doing these with wild populations, and we're having to make assumptions on what we started with. Well, here we don't have to make those assumptions. We know exactly what we started with. So I think it gives sort of this wild natural laboratory experiment that people could follow up on.
All right. That's Andy Baldwin, chair of the biology department at Mesa Community College. Andy, thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.